Good morning, Emmanuel. To this, our second service in this extraordinary lockdown for COVID-19. Welcome also to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you to feel part of our service. Our service today will be led by our minister, Robert Jordan. The reader this morning will be myself, Eddie Thomas. The reading is actually given in the church service schedule. The notices, a few of them anyway, are in Weekly News. I will now light the Christ candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Welcome. We gather for worship, scattered yet together, part of the family of God. And we give thanks to God that wherever we are and however we meet, we are not alone. Thank you, Shelley, for being with us this morning and guiding us through the music and the reflection that comes with the music. You have the order of service in front of you, and the words of the hymns are there. Of course, we can't sing, don't stand, but the recording is of the other Emmanuel CD, so it'll be the choir singing, it will be that organ playing, so you can join spiritually in looking at the words and rejoicing in the fact that there is singing. And the reading is printed. And after it was printed, I realized I'd given you the wrong chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So I had to come in with a pen and correct everyone by hand. It is, if you would look for chapter 14, you would not have found today's reading in chapter 14. Yes, in chapter 15. And so far, so good. No buzzing sound. The great last Sunday's service impossible to follow. The only things that were clear in the service were the actual singing.
Hopefully it's the microphone rather than anything else.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you hear that?
The sound system wants to make itself noticed one way or another. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Praise the Lord. May God guide us, sustain us, challenge us. May God's everlasting arms surround us. Because in the God of love, He can surround us with that eternal love. Amen. The first hymn, Lord for the Years, which is on, as I say, on the CD, and you've got the information there.
Thank you.
As we will do each week, we will light a candle for the past. We did last Sunday, but we add a week on to it this week, where we recognize the things that have pained us, hurt us, made us feel sad or upset. This week, if you've read the newsletter, you will know of Stan's death, a gentleman, and those of you who would come to Luncheon Club in particular would know of him. Coming to worship, you would know of him. A lovely man who died suddenly, but in absolute peace. And it's just one form of saying to God, we light this candle. Shelley will play 2 minutes of music, more or less, where we can reflect, be meditative, and say to God, the past we put into your hands. Sustain us. Let us turn to God in prayer. We come to you. And in one way, we've never been far from you. Because even those weeks that turned into months where we didn't gather for worship in this place, we were never far from you. But we give you thanks because the feeling of being together in this building is different. It makes us feel better. But remind us that you have always walked with your people through deserts, through the sea, in the difficulties of the storms of life, in the beauty of a sunrise, in the songs of the birds, in the changing seasons.
we thank you that you have always been the God who chose to be close to your people. We give you thanks, O Lord, for all that takes place that helps people feel fulfilled, better, happier, safer, loved. We recognize the fact that yesterday the lots of the world remembered with different approaches to it, but remembered the final end of World War II. For the changes that we have been part of in life. We thank you for friendship. We thank you for those things that make us laugh. We thank you for the lives of those people who, close to us, even at a distance, have interpreted our silences, have lightened the burden of our hearts. Lord, be with us as we walk. Be with your people everywhere. And we come also in recognition that we do make mistakes. We pray for all those young people whom last week and the week that is coming are upset because of their exam results. And we ask the question, could things be different? Everybody knew that those days were coming. We pray for all those in this world who nobody listens to, those who are left on the side, ignored, those that feel rejected and abandoned, those that cry out, those that will not give up. We don't want to live in a world where it is only if you shout out that people realize. So forgive us hardened hearts, forgive us indifference. Forgive us when we just want to get on with life as usual, when things are far from usual. Forgive us, O Lord, that we forget that you are working through us and people like us. And that we forget sometimes that miracles do happen. Lord, guard our words, our thoughts, our actions, that they may communicate your grace. Forgive us, restore us, heal us, make us new. And as your children, when we turn to you, we remind each other and ourselves that we are your daughters, your sons. And we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just a flash that came to my mind, and I just want to share. Barbara Morgan fell this week again. She got caught up answering the doorbell with one of the aids she has to help her walk more safely. She bumped her head, but there was no damage. So I just said, when I phoned her, I just simply said, what are we going to do with you, Barbara? And she said, pray for me, please. So don't think of any magical solutions, just keep her in prayer and her legs strong. Eddie will now lead us in the reading for this morning.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew 15, verses 10 to 28. And as I say, it's in the order of service. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." But Peter said to them, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Eddie. Lord, we grapple with your word. May the Spirit guide us to understand. Change us as you see need. Help us to be nurtured. Amen. There is a quote, apparently from Albert Einstein, that says something like this: "It is more difficult to disintegrate a prejudice than the atom." I don't know about prejudice, but he certainly knew something about atoms. And I'd like us to hold on to that for a few moments, because it is the central theme of the reading today. The passage we have just heard follows a very complicated conversation Jesus has with the Pharisees and the scribes. "Oh, you don't wash your hands before a meal." I had to smile because it was a very COVID-19 situation, yet 2,000 years old, and so there is no connection. Why we wash our hands today is different from what the Pharisees were saying then. And they also talked about honoring parents and the way the Pharisees kind of learned how to maneuver through things and not deal with them. And we discover that Jesus has upset them. And when you upset the Pharisees and the scribes, you're in danger, as Jesus will discover. And then Jesus says something like, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out. Scribes and Pharisees are definitely not happy with this. And the disciples aren't too sure they've really understood what he's talking about. What comes out proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. And he gives a whole list of things. And this is so true still today. Over the last months, we have heard a lot of what comes out of the heart and is scattered across the press on the news. We've heard about racism, and we've heard about hatred, and we've heard lies blatantly told. We have seen actions of pervasive xenophobia. And this is going to appear in a few moments. You know that because you've just heard about it. And Jesus knows, has seen. And if you go through different Gospels, even at the beginning in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is introduced for the first time, one of the apostles to be says, what good can come from where this guy comes from? He knows nothing good. That's the inferred answer. And Jesus continues traveling with the disciples. Once again, Jesus crosses borders. He goes into Tyre and Sidon, probably the two main ports in that part of the world historically. And a woman appears in this narrative, a human being that does not count at all among the males of the time. A woman discriminated against, a lone woman. That's quite clear because she has no male beside her. And in the culture of that time, that didn't happen. She's alone. She is the only one that will shout for what she needs. Nobody's going to do it for her. She shouts her head off. And a clue immediately appears. She's described as a Canaanite. And that's a deliberate word in the biblical text. It is an archaic name. It's what the Phoenicians have been called even before the Hebrews entered the promised land. And I think we've all heard of the Phoenicians, at least history. That's where they first appeared. And when I went to Galicia in 1993, a world conference, on the north of Galicia, there is Hercules Tower, which is a lights for boats. Lighthouse, thank you. A lighthouse built by the Phoenicians. It's a massive building, 3,000 years old, more or less. And at the foot of the rocks, there is this famous tanker that hit the rocks years back and collapsed because it is no longer a lighthouse. But the Phoenicians got that far. And this woman with no name is considered unclean, a follower of other gods. She's noisy. So much so that the disciples go up and say, oh, get rid of her. She's a pest. Get rid of her. I mean, that's the disciples at their worst. What follows is not easy reading. This is one of the biblical texts that really, really upsets me. It disturbs me really a lot. Because it seems, and there's no way around this, that Jesus follows the attitude of the people of his time in a way that we're not expecting it to happen. Initially, he pays no attention to this woman. He doesn't say a word. A woman who needs his compassion. Could it be that he is part of the gender racial profiling, we would call it today, of the time? It would seem so possible. I mean, he grew up in that time. Things were what they were. But he has confronted so many issues in the past. Why is this here like this? She kneels before him. She begged insistently, "Please, Lord, help me." Why did she kneel before him? She wasn't Jewish. She had her own religion. She lived among the Israelites because she was a Canaanite. We presume that by this time she's heard a lot about Jesus. That's why she's calling out. She must have heard that he is a healer, a savior, one who pities the poor and the needy. Why wouldn't he help her? In fact, she calls him Lord, which is the usual word by which you respect somebody. She recognizes his lordship. She must have thought, if there's somebody who can attend my plea, somebody who can cure my daughter, it's this chap, because nobody else has been able to do it. Help me. I find it very difficult to accept that Jesus is not welcoming to a woman like this. It disturbs me. What's going on? Jesus has met in chapter 8 of Matthew, this is chapter 15, not too long ago, the Canaanite centurion. No questions asked. He goes to Jesus. Great is your faith. Your servant has been cured. No issue. Why here? Why in this case is there this issue? We have seen Jesus welcome foreigners, women, sick people. He's touched the impure, becoming impure himself. He's upset people before because he talks about Samaritans being good people. Just go on, go through your memory and pick out all those moments. Suddenly, all that in this reading today is questioned. At least I question it, because this is the Jesus we recognize, the guy that will touch somebody who needs to be touched, somebody who will cure, heal, speak, explain, puts a child in the center, looks down upon us every Sunday, the stained window. What's going on with this Jesus? He's never been upset about upsetting the scribes and the Pharisees. He's called them harsh words before. And they will lead him to his death because they can't accept what he's doing. Have you ever stopped to think for one second what this woman feels when she is called a dog? It's not what we feel. Think for a second what she feels when she heard those words. It's not good to take the food from the children to give it to the dogs. Dogs were unclean animals, impure animals in the Jewish time. It is quite an insult. Think of the worst insult that comes to your mind. Some of them that are not even legal today. That's what calling somebody a dog meant in that time. It is the worst insult you could throw at somebody. She's a Gentile. She has recognized Jesus' power. She's desperate for her daughter. She knows that religiously, culturally, ethnically, she is not entitled to anything, but she still calls and insists. This man has crossed boundaries before. Won't he do it now? Do you know, I don't think we've ever heard Jesus as harsh as he is here in any other reading to somebody who is in need. Canaanite woman opens Jesus' eyes. She makes him understand by her simple answer that healing her daughter does not change his mission one gram. It's not a question of putting some people aside simply because she needs help. As a matter of fact, she probably points out to him that he's widening his mission. And she pushes those boundaries in a way that we have never seen it before. A woman answers back. And in biblical times, that did not happen. And she says, do you know what? Come on, you must have seen it. The dogs eat the crumbs. And anybody of you who has a dog knows how they behave. They scavenge the crumbs. And I feel like going, yes! You've hit the nail on the head. That simple phrase has suddenly transformed this reading. You're right, she says. I may be a dog, but give me your crumbs. Nobody's going to eat them. Nobody's going to miss them. Woman, how great is your faith? But what a journey to get there. The kingdom teaches, that Jesus teaches about, is the one where we would question, and that's why I'm questioning it, any form of discrimination, hatred, racism, and in today I would say Islamophobia, homophobia, xenophobia, ageism, classism, anti-refuge, any form of discrimination that in the world exists today. My question is, how do we uphold that through our faith? My personal answer is, it's unsustainable. So that's when Jesus hears this woman responding, I say, yes, this is what the passage needed. Everyone is God's creature. I think we'd all agree with that. And the church should never accept or tolerate anything that denies that affirmation. And in this world and this time in which we are living, the church has to be vigilant, because this is growing and growing and growing in the world in which we're living. This is the time when we are called to be wise as serpents. So anybody who joins their voices to work for a better world, where this woman and any other calls for help because she desperately needs it, needs to be attended to. In the society, in the churches, all over the place, it is easy for things to creep in. But that's why we are a body. Somebody has got to point out the mistakes. We may not be able to break the atom. I wouldn't know where to start. But we do have to question every form of prejudice that exists. I know you may find it very difficult to say that Jesus was prejudiced. This woman questioned it. And if we find anywhere any form of this, thank goodness this reading is over in the lectionary. We won't encounter this Jesus again. But be aware, it's there. And if Matthew thought it was important to put it in, he was making a point. A point that we learn. We need the help of the Spirit of love, hope, and faith to guide us, to sustain us, to correct us, to forgive us, so that we can truly celebrate the love of all creatures, God's children. Amen. We will now light the second candle, and there will be a time of reflection, musical, with words that you will find there. This is the candle of looking forward. We start the service and we say to God, take hold of all that burdens us. And having done that, we now light the candle and say, guide us. Shine light on our way so that we find how to be better. now dedicate the offering. O Lord, what we give in any way that we give it, of our times, our talents, our possessions, that they may be used by the guidance of the Spirit to proclaim to this world that your ways are the better ways. Lead us, bless us, sustain us. Amen. And we will now have the prayers of intercession.
Lord, we place into your hands the world and all in it. At this time of fear, confusion, doubt, look down on the place that you have made and place your comforting arms around those of your children. We think especially of those suffering from COVID-19. And all that that means. We think of those affected by the terrible explosion in Lebanon, of those suffering under persecution, those fleeing from war, famine, discrimination, natural disasters. And we pray also for those around the world trying to give aid and help and succour to those in need, in whatever capacity they can, often with no thought for themselves. Lord, we place into your hands those in a position of government at international, national, and local level, trying to make difficult decisions at this time regarding the coronavirus situation and all that that entails. We pray for children and young people hopefully gearing up to return to school. We particularly pray this week for those who've been affected by the non-examination situation, especially those who this next Thursday will know the results. We pray for teachers, lecturers, professors, all those trying to guide the next generation forward. Lord, we place into your hands those in this our town of Swindon who have tested positive with the virus. May they recover swiftly and safely. We pray for those within the NHS and all the other organisations striving to do what they can to help, be it via food banks, charities, and all other voluntary organisations. Lord, we place into your hands your churches, both nationally and locally, who are coming to terms with the new norm and attempting to meet together in some form or other in your name. We pray for the leaders and all the others striving to open up for services. We pray for those of your children who can attend, but we particularly pray for those who still feel uncomfortable in returning. Lord, let them know you are watching over them. We pray especially at this time for our sister church in Highworth as they go to make difficult decisions on their future. May them and us make the right decisions to continue your work in that place. Finally, Lord, we place into your hands those coming to terms with the love of lost ones, of friends who have died, those recovering from operations, medical problems, accidents, all those enduring this strange weather at this time,
And in a time of silence, we bring to you our own private prayers. In closing, Lord, we give thanks to you for always being there in our time of need and surrounding us with your love and compassion. Lord, hear our prayers and let our cry come unto you. Amen.
And our closing hymn, Lord, give me faith. I don't think in that last line it's the love that twists, it's the love between. Sorry about the printing error. Peace between neighbor, peace between kindred, peace between lovers in love of the King of life, peace between person and person, peace between wife and husband, peace between man, a woman and children, the peace of Christ about all peace. Bless, O Christ, my face. Let my face bless everything. Bless, O Christ, mine eyes. Let mine eyes bless all it sees. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.